The Fred Allen Show. The Fred Allen Show with Fred's guest, Henry Morgan, Fulton Hoffa, Minerva Pius, Peter Donald, Parker Finley, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra.
Mr. Allen!
Portland. Portland, it's Sunday. What are you doing with that shopping bag?
Mama sent me out to look for bread.
Bread?
There's a strike at the bakeries. Bread is scarce.
Oh. Well, how are you getting along at your house?
Well, until Mama can get bread again, we're eating toast.
Well, that's the... that's the thing to do when you can't get bread. Fill up on toast. Or croupons. You those wet. Get them out of the soup and dry them. They're awfully good. Those cretins, you take them out of this soup.
Mama was using donuts for bread.
Really? Well, how did that work out?
All right, until she made poached eggs.
Poached eggs on donuts?
Mama couldn't eat them.
Why not?
Every time she picked up a donut, the poached egg slipped through the little hole.
Small donuts, eh? Well, there's only one way to fix that. The next time your mother poaches an egg, tell her to put a little starch in the hot water.
Oh, the starch will stiffen it up?
The white of the egg will taste like a shirt front without the buttonholes, but the eggs won't slip through the hole in the donut.
I'll tell her.
Do that. That's a little trick. You better make a note of it. It might slip your mind. You might be thinking of bacon later, and it'll slip your mind. Something greasy like that. That's a little trick the mystery chef taught me, Portland. He taught me a lot of things.
About food?
Oh, the old mystery chef. You know how spaghetti falls off when you try to wind it around your fork?
Yes.
Dip the fork in a little thin glue. Why? That spaghetti will stay on there. You'll have to file it off.
Sure knows some tricks.
Oh, you know how asparagus hangs down, you can't get the end in your mouth?
Yes.
Run a pipe cleaner through the stalk of asparagus. The asparagus will be stiff. You can eat it like corn on the cob. I suggest starting at the thin end. It's more appetizing.
The mystery chef should be on television.
He is. He started last week. If you smell anything on television, it's probably the mystery chef cooking a commercial. Or one of the vaudeville shows. Well, what's new this week, Portland?
Brooklyn is going to have a symphony orchestra.
Oh, again? You know, some years ago, I saw a symphony orchestra in Brooklyn.
What was it like?
Well, when the curtains parted at the Academy of Music over there, 30 men were sitting there in a circle wearing tuxedos. But they had no instruments. The 30 men all had big rocks in their hands.
Big rocks in their hands?
With the tuxedos on, they were just waiting for somebody to say something. Well, I guess I'll get my paper, Portland.
Oh, I'm coming, too.
Sure, come on. Let's take a walk down Main Street.
What does the paper say?
Oh, gosh, look at this headline.
Man killed while attempting to commit suicide.
I wonder what happened.
Oh, he had an accident.
Oh, that's true. Say, here's an item. Look at this. Professor of psychology at Stanford University defends IQ test. He has IQ tests of children dating way back to 1921.
Do you think a child with a high IQ is a genius in later life?
Well, I wouldn't know, but let's ask some people now as we're walking along Main Street. Well, come on, Portland. What's so interesting in that stationery store?
This window's full of greeting cards and mottos.
Mottos? Hey, what's that motto in the big frame there?
It says, "Live as though it is your last day on Earth, and one day you will be right."
This may be the day. Hey, look who's coming down the steps of the lunch wagon.
Titus Moody.
Hi, Mr. Moody.
Howdy, Bob.
I saw you, just saw you coming out of the lunch wagon.
Yeah, I was in selling the chef some eggs.
Oh, I see.
Every day I sell him 13 eggs.
Well, good.
I got 12 hens. They lay 13 eggs.
Well, how come?
One of my hens stutters.
Well, tell me, Mr. Moody, do you think the child with a high IQ turns out to be a genius in later life?
Oh, I don't hold with too much learning.
No?
No. Learning's all right for them that wants to make a living setting down.
But you think an education is a liability?
It ain't always the smart person that's bringing home the most bacon.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, now, there's an ignorant cuss around town called Dopey Dan.
Yeah?
He ain't never been to school.
Dan's an ignoramus, eh?
He was born left-headed.
Yes?
When Dopey Dan puts two and two together, he's just got four ones.
Uh-huh.
But Dopey Dan's got 15 kids, and he's on relief.
I see.
Well, last week, the town said Dopey Dan had to go to school.
Had to go to school, eh?
Yeah, so the school teacher's teaching him to be as smart as she is. Well, it's a waste of time.
Waste of time?
For teaching school, the teacher is getting $40 a week.
Yes?
For being on relief with his 15 kids, Dopey Dan is getting $110 a week. So long, though.
So long, Mr. Moody. Well, come on, Portland. What are you stopping for?
Look who's coming round the corner.
Mrs. Nussbaum.
You were expecting maybe Tallulah Blackhead.
Well, Mrs. Nussbaum, do you think a child with a high IQ always turns out to be a genius in later life?
Life to a person is like a day to a weatherman. Who knows how it is turning out?
You think life is a gamble?
40 years ago, I am knowing two brothers, boys.
Yes?
One they are calling Jake the genius.
Yes?
One they are calling Max the moron.
Uh-huh.
Jake the genius is going to college.
Yes?
He's a Phi Beta Kaplan.
Yes?
He's graduating magna cum laude.
And the other brother?
Max the moron is flunking kindergarten. He's flunking night school. Also, he's flunking the Savarin coffee test.
Well, you knew these brothers 40 years ago. Tell me, where are they today?
If you are going in the stage delicatessen to get a corned beef sandwich...
Yes?
Who is behind the counter cutting the corned beef?
Who?
Jake the genius.
Jake the genius?
And who is standing next to him cutting the rye bread?
Max the moron?
Sidney Pincus, her cousin.
Well, who... Who owns the delicatessen?
Max the moron.
Oh, good night, Mrs. Nussbaum. Say, look, Portland, this new place just opened on Main Street.
Who is the man with the long black coat and the sad face standing in the doorway?
Say, he's a stranger. Perhaps I can help him, Portland. Pardon me, sir. Is there something I can do for you?
I am Digby O'Dell, the friendly undertaker. Is there something I can do for you?
Not at the moment, no. Say, Digby O'Dell, haven't I heard you on the radio?
Oh, yes, indeed. I appear on The Life of Riley.
You, an undertaker on The Life of Riley?
For a limited time.
Oh.
I only expect to be with Riley while he has life in him.
Say, I listen to The Life of Riley every Friday night. You know, my friend William Bendix is great as Riley.
True. He kills the people, and I lay them in the aisle. And wait until you see Mr. Bendix and me in our new motion picture, The Life of Riley. It's so gay.
Oh. You're a screen actor, too?
Confidentially, I'm great. When I appear, I send people out of this world.
Make a note to see that picture, The Life of Riley. Hey, tell me, Mr. O'Dell, do you think a high IQ means that a person will be a genius in later life?
What does it matter if you're smart or dumb? Life is a race. When you cross the finish line, I am there waiting for you.
Fine. Well, if you're going my way...
Oh, no, thank you. I'm going to a play this evening.
Oh, have you got tickets?
I'm sitting in a box.
Ha!
I'm looking forward to seeing this play. I know I'm going to enjoy it immensely.
What is the play?
Death of a Salesman. Well, cheerio, Mr. Allen. I'd better be shoveling off.
Goodbye, Digger. Mob tonight, Portland. Look who's crossing the street.
Who?
Earl Wilson. You know Earl Wilson, the famous columnist of the New York Post. Hi, Earl.
Fred, you're just the man I want to see.
You need a couple of jokes for your column, eh?
Yes, but I'll get around to that later.
What's on your mind right now?
Well, Fred, every month, Radio Best, that's the radio and television magazine, gives a Silver Mike Award for an outstanding contribution to the advancement of radio or television.
So?
So this month, Radio Best is asking me to present you with the Silver Mike Award.
Well, Earl, you're not going to, You're not going to read a long speech from that paper.
Well, no, Fred, but the editor has written a few lines for me, and it says here, quote, "When Fred Allen made his first broadcast in 1932, O.O. McIntyre said his voice sounded like a man with false teeth chewing slate pencils. After 17 years on the air, Mr. Allen has proven to the satisfaction of all that his bite was pretty good for a man with borrowed dentures. His sworn enemy of trivia, frauds, and the smug, Fred has never hurt anyone maliciously. His respect for the listener is inherent in the brand of adult comedy he has brought to radio. Radio Best takes pride in presenting its silver mic to a guy who will never tarnish, to a comedian who has enriched the listening pleasure of America's millions, Fred Allen."
Say, Earl, how about joining Portland and me now? We're walking down Main Street.
Which way?
Well, we're going over to buy a DeMarco Sisters record. You'll get a kick out of this tune.
What number is it?
Well, it's down by the station. And Earl, with Al Goodman and his orchestra and the five DeMarco Sisters, down by the station comes out something like this. Portland, a new pawn shop just opened up on Main Street.
Oh, that used to be a butcher shop.
No kidding.
Uh-huh. The butcher took in the pawnbroker as a partner.
You mean it's a pawn shop and a butcher shop? How do you know?
Well, on the sign outside, there are three meatballs.
Oh, Say, I wonder when a meatball joke dies, if it goes to hamburger heaven. Say, it's a little late, Portland. I better hurry. I have to meet Henry Morgan tonight.
Oh, have you hired Henry Morgan?
Yes, I hired him. You know, I told you last week, television is taking all of the listeners away from radio. I have got to advertise myself. Last week, Henry auditioned a quiz show for me, but confidentially, it didn't ring the bell. Now, Henry's going to have some smashing new ideas for me tonight. You want to come along?
I have to go home.
Why?
Because that's where I live.
Oh, I see. I'll see you later, Portland. I'll be late for my date with Henry Morgan. Well, this is the corner. Here's the cigar store. And in front of the cigar store...
Here's Morgan.
Well, Henry, I guess you're ready. You're bubbling over with new ideas for my program.
Got a couple.
Only a couple? Henry, I thought you'd have a million ideas.
Oh, but Fred, I haven't had any time to think.
What have you been doing all week?
I've been on the go every minute, straightening out my affairs.
What affairs?
Well, I haven't worked for 8 months. I had to go down to the unemployment compensation office.
Yes?
Took me 3 days to get my name off the unemployment list.
3 days?
Well, after all these months, they just couldn't believe I was going to work.
Oh, I see.
They wanted to give me a lie detector test.
Well, how did you finally convince them?
I didn't. When I said I had another job in radio, the head of the unemployment office said, "We'll keep your name on the list, Henry. You'll be back."
Well, that accounts for the first 3 days. Now, what happened the rest of the week?
Thursday, I joined a junior pyramid club.
A junior pyramid club?
There was only one other man in it.
Oh.
He said he was number one, so I had to pay him $2,048.
Well, that was Thursday. What happened Friday?
I was number one.
Yes?
The other guy resigned from the club. The pyramid collapsed.
And Saturday?
Saturday, I moved into a flop house on the Bowery.
Henry, you in a flop house?
Oh, it wasn't bad. I had a nice big room.
Yes?
Only trouble was, there were 85 other guys living in the room with me.
With 85 guys, why didn't you start another pyramid club?
How do you think they got in the flop house?
But, Henry, sometime during the week, you must have thought of something for my program.
One night in the flop house, I couldn't sleep.
Yes?
I thought of a great idea for a commercial.
A commercial to advertise me?
This is something new. It's never been done before.
Well, how does it go?
Well, first the announcer comes on and says,
L-S-M-F-A.
Listen Sunday, meet Fred Allen.
L-S-M-F-A.
Listen Sunday, meet Fred Allen.
And then there's a musical jingle.
Feeling low, feeling tense. These 8 words are common sense.
Hey, Fred Allen.
To be your level best.
Hey, Fred Allen.
To be your level best.
Yes, with men who know comedy best, it's Allen 2 to 6 1/2. Mr. J.L. Sorghum of Yam, Mississippi says,
I've been listening to Fred Allen for now on to 15 years. Fred Allen tells those bigger, those better, those naturally funnier jokes. At joke market after joke market, any joke auctioneer would tell you that the riper, the more mellow jokes are all sold to Fred Allen. That's why I'm telling you folks every Sunday night to,
hey, Fred Allen,
to be in your level best.
Hey, Fred Allen,
to be in your level best.
Gad, Henry. That is semi-sensational. Now, what about my program?
I have an idea for that, too.
What?
The reason people aren't listening to radio is because they're looking at television.
That's right.
You can put a show on television advertising that you were on the radio.
What kind of a television show?
Every Sunday night, you hire a half hour, see?
Yes.
For 30 minutes, you shine 2 big searchlights right in the people's eyes.
Yeah.
After you do that, you see, they won't be able to see anything on television. They'll have to listen to you on the radio.
Well, that will work on one channel, but what about the other channel?
There are millions of people with television sets who listen to radio during the day.
I know, I've heard that.
And what do people listen to during the daytime? Soap operas.
Henry, you mean?
Fred, you've got to get a soap opera.
But where?
I have an idea for a soap opera. It's called Just Plain Fred.
Just Plain Fred. It sounds great. How does it go?
Well, the program opens with organ music.
Presenting Just Plain Fred, the story of an ordinary man facing life's ordinary problems in his own ordinary way.
In yesterday's episode, you remember, an unexpected tornado blew Just Plain Fred's barn away. 3 of his cows came down with Virus X. Trying to light his lantern to see which way his barn blew, Just Plain Fred accidentally set the house on fire. As he ran to call the fire department, Just Plain Fred saw a man from the telephone company taking out his phone. And so we left Just Plain Fred, his barn blown away, his cows sick, standing in his house, the flames roaring around him, with no means of calling for help. things sure looked bad for just plain Fred. But somehow during the night, this was all straightened out. And today, we find just plain Fred back in that little cottage at the end of Happiness Lane, chuckling.
Shucks, it's nigh on to 3 o'clock, and I ain't had a problem all day. Well, just shows you what it's like living down here in Happiness Lane. I wish other folks... Come in, come in.
Oh, just plain Fred.
Why, Mrs. Perkins, you look plumb excited.
It's your dog, Rover.
Rover?
I found him burying his bone in my backyard.
Well, Mrs. Perkins, that ain't nothing to get excited about.
But look at the size of this bone.
It looks like a leg of something.
This high-button shoe was on the end of it.
Well, I swan, Ma was wearing high-button shoes.
Just plain Fred.
Yeah?
Rover has eaten your wife.
Well, Mrs. Perkins, it's like I always say, a man's best friend is his dog. Come in, come in.
Hey, pardon me for busting in, just plain Fred.
Old Doc Jones, what brings you here?
Your grandson, Billy. He's been run over by a milk truck.
Little Billy?
It was terrible. Milk truck hit Billy, smashed through a fence, and crashed into the ravine.
Well, old Doc Jones, is like I always say, won't help none to cry over spilled milk. Come in, come in.
Oh, just plain Fred.
Why, my neighbor, Smiling Tom. You look troubled, Smiling Tom.
It's your daughter, Mary.
Little Billy's mother?
Mary's parrot got away.
Yes?
It perched up on top of a telephone pole. Mary clumb up to get it.
Yes?
Mary lost her balance and fell 40 foot to the ground.
Well, Smiling Tom, it's like I always say, what goes up must come down. Come in, come in.
Who's just plain Fred?
Well, I'm just plain Fred. Who are you, stranger?
I used to be your son-in-law's boss.
Something's happened to Mary's husband, John?
We was blasting down at the quarry.
Yes.
John was in charge of setting off the dynamite.
Yes.
Well, sir, some joker gave John a short fuse.
You mean John?
There was a bang. John was all over the quarry.
Well, stranger, it's like I always say. We're here today and gone tomorrow.
Lucky me, just plain Fred.
Yes, Mrs. Perkins.
I ain't never seen so much grief.
Grief, you say?
In the last 5 minutes, you've lost your wife,
yes,
your daughter, your daughter's yes, husband, and your little grandson, Billy. Yes.
I know, Mrs. Perkins.
But all you've done is sat there and spout proverbs.
Well, I'm a philosopher, Mrs. Perkins. When you lived as long as I've lived.
You've lived too long, just plain Fred.
Mrs. Perkins, what are you aiming to do with that gun? Oh, jeepers, Mrs. Perkins. What did you have to go and do that for?
I had to, just plain Fred. I wanted you to go and join your family.
Well, Mrs. Perkins, mighty nice of you. Like I always say, when you gotta go, you gotta go. Oh.
And so ends another episode in the life of that lovable old philosopher, just plain Fred. Right now, it looks kind of bad in Happiness Lane. Just plain Fred is lying there on the floor dead. But somehow, during the night, everything will be all straightened out, and just plain Fred will be back again tomorrow. See you then.
Thank you and good night.
Fred Allen Show was originally released by NBC, the National Broadcasting Company, and came to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.